about what God has placed on the heart of the leader. And so the leader's heart becomes your heart. Y'all with me? And so, and now I want, see, this is the thing that we got to get away from. We got to get away from talking a good game. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you can say, hey, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. Oh, apostle, I'm with you, I'm with you. But what happens when the storm comes? What happens when it starts raining? What are you going to do then? Are you going to run out of the storm? Or are you going to stay there and you going to endure it? You with me? So, see, the plan of God, all these things, I had to come to understand all these things that was going on, you know, in my life was God really preparing me for an assignment that he had for me. And the assignment was to be a person who was, whenever the call of duty was there, you know, I was the one who I used to clean the church up. They had people they were paying to clean the church. I sneak in before they get there, clean the church up. They were still getting paid. They didn't know I was doing it. But, you know, I know that if I could do something to free the pastor up, then he had more time to see God. Right. So with this sonship, so let me run a few things here by you. So we said sons must be joined to the God of the house. So every house and family on earth derives its name and nature from the Father in heaven. So this divine nature and distinctive characteristic is released into the life of the set man of the house. The set man of the house, you know, as the pastor. Now watch this. I want you to see something. Look at Acts 16. See, this is where a whole lot of folks. That's why God opened his school up so that apostles can really train men and women so that they can do it right. You with me? Praise God. All right. The 16th chapter of Acts. I want you to see something. Acts 16 and verse 9. It said, and a vision appeared to Paul. Who it appeared to?
Paul
in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So, who had this vision? Who had the vision? He just told you, Paul had the vision, right? Okay, but look what it says after that. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored. Why do we came in at? Where did the we come in from? See, because the people who were following knew that God gave Paul a vision, but it's our responsibility to help him to carry it out. You with me? See, so many times folks say, well, the Lord ain't showed me that. Well, the thing about it is once you understand the apostolic, you understand that God's going to show it to the set man. You with me? He's going to show it to the leader. And so once the leader reveals it to us, then, you know, right away in your heart, you know that we've been called to do this. Right. You know, we just left Orlando, Florida, where Apostle was doing a Money Coming to You meeting. And so we traveled with Apostle all over the country. Well, you know, we've been to different countries and that sort of thing and stuff. So when he got the call to go and to travel and stuff, well, the Lord called us to go too. You with me? And the thing about it is, you know, I don't think I shared it with you all, but in class last year, I shared it with them. I was on a plane, and so this pastor, I didn't know him, so they moved him over to the seat where I was. And so he came up and sat there, so he saw this ring, and he said, are you a pastor? I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. And he asked me, you know, where I was preaching at and stuff. I said, no. I said, I'm following my spiritual father. He's been preaching. And I said, he go all over everywhere and stuff. He said to me, and you don't do no preaching? You just follow him? I said, that's all. I said, I just follow. I said, I pastor my church. You know, I'm preaching every week, you know. But no, he said, man, you know, I have all these invitations where I preach all over, you know. And then he started telling me about how much he was receiving in honorariums for all the traveling he was doing, you know, different churches and that kind of thing and stuff. So I didn't want to say anything to him, you understand? So then I began, so he said to me, he wanted to make sure that I was, you know, that he had got it right. He said, wait a minute now, you saying to me that you do a whole lot of traveling following somebody else that's preaching? I said, yeah. He said, well, man, you know, he said, well, man, I'm telling you, if you ever get to rolling and stuff like, he told me how many appointments he have a year. Then he told me how much, he messed around and told me how much he get for a year, you know, after he'd been passing, after he'd been traveling. And so I told him, I said, I told him the amount that I get. And he said, wait a minute, what you mean? He said, you not preaching? I said, no. I said, I'm just following. I said, I'm just following. He said, what you, he said, wait a minute, hold on. Explain it to me again. I said, all I'm doing is following my spiritual father as he go to preach. And I said, we don't go after money. Money come after us. He said, wait a minute. I mean, his mind was just blown. Do you understand? But see, that's the way they've been doing it for so long. But really, he wanted to make fun. But he found out that the laugh was on him. You understand what I'm saying? Because he was, you know, wearing himself out. He's a pastor. He wearing himself out, you know, and going here and going there and that kind of thing and stuff. And then I said, yeah. He said, well, look. And so he asked me who it was I was following. I told him it was an apostle. He said, you think you can get him to come to my church? I said, no, I can't. He said, well, you a son. You can't put in a word for me. I said, no, we don't roll like that. I said, we don't have a relationship where it's a you scratch my back, I scratch your back kind of deal. See, that's what they've been used to. You understand what I'm saying? I said, but if you want him to preach, I said, you just call the office. I said, and ask for him. I said, and who knows? I said, God may. I said, but that's got to. He said, you tell me you can't call him. I said, no, I can't. Can't call him. So, see, this is the way the thing been going for so long until, especially when a young pastor starts going out, he starts seeing this kind of thing, and he's flattered by that. I want you to think about something. You just following? And somebody else doing the preaching? And you receiving like this? Yeah, because I'm in the will of God. I am helping to assist the person God called me to help. Praise God. So see, all those kind of ideas got to get it out of your mind. You understand what I'm saying? If you're going to really be a real son and daughter, you with me? So scripture said they called us. He ain't just, you know, it wasn't just a vision that Apostle Paul got. Vision that God called us. Now, LTMA is uniquely different. It's different because of the person who is who's heading it, who's apostle. You with me? And the thing about it is now, I believe one of the things that God has put me in the earth to do is to really help people to really follow properly. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, there's so many people gifted, good people, love God, but have no knowledge of how to properly follow and be, they'll continue to be a member, a believer, a disciple. They never go into sonship. Matter of fact, a whole lot of pastors still members. They have not matured. They don't have anybody that they follow. They don't have nobody they submit to. You have to have somebody in your life that can jerk the slack out of you. That can really, I'm not talking about sit down and talk to you, you know, firm and nice. No. I'm talking about somebody to tell you, go sit down, that ain't God. When you really think that this is the Lord. Oh, I know. Look, oh, Pastor, I had this dream. I had the Lord. That ain't God. Go sit down. I mean, you all night you've been up and all. You just ate something too late. Praise the Lord. So sons must connect to the grace of God and the spiritual resources in the house of their father. Hallelujah. See, James, y'all young, Sam, Joe, y'all young. You know, y'all, and the thing about it is, see, y'all may feel like, hey, you know, I'm gonna run this out. But see, y'all not married yet. Y'all get a whole old crazy woman and get y'all clean off your assignment. Oh, I'm not following him. You don't feel in love now. What you gonna do? So you got to, every step that you go, you got to guard your life and everything so that you don't wind up with the wrong person to lead you off the trail. Amen. Hallelujah. So this will help them become distinctively like their father and cause them to become the begotten in the house. See, when somebody see one of Apostle's sons, they ought to know that that's Apostle's son. I was in D.C. I was in Washington, D.C., went to when President Barack Obama got inaugurated and stuff, went to the ball. And so I walk in the ballroom and stuff, and so I see Dr. Dollar in there. So I went in my pocket, and I gave him $500, and I introduced myself, and I said, I'm a son of Dr. Thompson. He said, oh, yeah, I can tell you, Dr. Thompson's son. When he looked at him, he said, oh, yeah, you his son. He said, ain't no doubt about it. Praise the Lord. So, and then I was at this, pastor had invited me to this, I don't know, it was a housewarming or something. And they had this big bishop that was there. And so I gave him a check. And so the guy who invited me, who was his son, leaned over to him and told him that I was Apostle's son. He said, I knew it. He said, I knew it. He said, I knew. When I looked on that check, he said, man, ain't nobody writing this kind of check to somebody who they. He said, I figured that you must have been Dr. Thompson's son. So the son ought to carry the same DNA of the father. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You with me?
Yes, sir.
The same DNA. DNA, one fellow said it means do not abort. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. Praise God. So sons in the house must tap into the spirit of what God is doing in the house. See, that's a difference in a member, a believer. A believer, they just come to church. They want to, what's in it for me? But when you mature into sonship, you want what's best for the house. What I can do to help. See, because now your job becomes you're supposed to be trying to do whatever you can to assist the man of God or the woman of God, whoever you're under, to make sure that their job is easy. So look, if any kind of thing kick off, we going to shut it down.
Yes, sir.
You with me? So you got to have that kind of mentality. Anything go on, you know, apostle might hear about it later and stuff. You understand what I'm saying? But he going to hear about it after we shut it down. So when you have that kind of attitude, a member got some kind of, you know, took my child to the nursery and, you know, and they had scratches on them or whatever and stuff. And you don't sit around and say, they did the same thing to my little granddaughter. She came from over there. No, you don't sit there and make the thing worse. Say, no, one of those kids, when those kids playing together, you know, they're playing with toys, they're bound to scratch each other. They do that at home. You understand what I'm saying? You have to be able to talk to people in such a way so that you can cut off any kind of foolishness that's going on in the church. Y'all with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. So you got to, so we said that this is the spirit This nature of the Spirit must become the nature of the life of the Son. Thus, they will carry the Spirit of the house. Now, and I'm going to show you, something here in 1 Corinthians 4:15. I want you to see something here. See, you don't have no business looking like anybody. I don't like, you know, I like dogs. I like dogs, but I like purebred dogs. I don't like high and 57s. We call them high and 57, or we call them, you know, we call them Sooners. Sooner you get rid of them, the better. But, you know, with a high and 57, you know, if he got all different kind of breeds, you really don't know, you know, he might have a little pit bull in him, you know, he might have a little shepherd, you know, he got a whole lot of things. So you can't really have to distinguish, you know, who he for. And so a lot of times in the body of Christ, folk going here, they going there and stuff, you don't know who their dad is. Because they don't, because they kind of got the characteristics, you know, they go into this meeting, they go into that meeting, they go into the other meeting and stuff, when they could just sit under a spiritual father, get all that they need. Get everything that they need right there. You with me? All right. I say 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, I mean, you can sit down, you know, and look at TBN and stuff, and you can learn something from this person, that person, stuff. But you got to realize now, let me tell you what happened to me. I was in a meeting and went to a conference. And so I had just started following an apostle. This is my first year of pastoring, and so first or second year. And I went to this conference, and so I'm sitting up there, man, in the conference, you know, and the pastor, you know, he's telling about his vision and stuff like that. And it's some of the same things, you know, that's been on my heart. I'm sitting there, man, tears coming out of my eyes. And I heard it just like this. I heard this very verse right here. Though you have 10,000 instructors, you have not many fathers. Dr. Leroy Thompson is your spiritual father, and don't you forget it. Guess what I did? I told my wife, I said, look, soon as this morning meeting over, we're going to the hotel, we're going to pack our bags, we're going back to the house. Because we somewhere that we really shouldn't be. Hallelujah. Although the man had a good lesson, good outline, good instructions, and that sort of thing and stuff. But that's not who God told me to follow. Yes, and see, sometimes you can get pulled off. And the way, watch this now, the way that I went to the meeting, I was invited by some other people in ministry. Well, you really need to come go to this conference. Oh, we went last year and it was just, and so here it is, you know, they influenced, and if, you know, I'm young, you know, just started pastoring, so I'm trying to find out, you know, what I need to do here and there and stuff, some kind of way. So, you know, I say, well, that I'm going on down, you know, so, boy, but I tell you what, once that morning meeting was over, we went to the hotel, 12 o'clock, we was on the way home. We was on the way to the house. Because, see, the enemy can have you follow, and listen to me, this is what you got to understand. Watch this. It doesn't mean that the people who have the conference and all that kind of stuff, don't mean that they're bad people or nothing like that, but is that who God told you to follow? You with me? And so that's the thing that God dealt with my heart about. And so, and especially, you know, I had to talk to my wife so that she could understand that, hey, we just came to the wrong conference. We really, you know, and we had started coming down here. I mean, they used to have the faith conventions and the healing convention. And, you know, it may go on for 5 days. We may come two until, you know, God, till I left that meeting. When I left that meeting, that was over. It was over for me going all over town. So they had a meeting down here. And so this was my first time, man. I'm going to all the meetings. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to all the meetings. And so this guy called me around about that Tuesday. and said, I need you to come preach for me. I said, when? He said, Friday. I said, no, I'm in a meeting. He said, how long? He said, how long is the meeting? How long did the meeting last? I said, the meeting lasts a Friday. He said, how long are you going? I said, I'm going every night. He said, if you go from Monday to Thursday and then come to me Friday, then, you know, he said, now, you know, I'm going to take care of you good. So, you know, if you want to, you can take that and you can bless you can bless your spiritual father with it. I said, no. I said, I'm going every night. He said, you know, this is going to interfere with our relationship. I said, well, see, you got to have your mind made up.
Yes, sir.
That this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And all this sideline stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, and then act like they hung the moon by what they're going to give you. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead on. Praise the Lord. So watch this, though. Watch this. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel, the apostle here. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. I mean, the apostle Paul is not being timid about it. He said, be ye followers of me. Because I have something that I'm going to pour into you. That's going to cause your life to be a whole lot better.
Yes,
so now watch this. So he said, I've begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Then he said, for this call, I have sent to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. Now see, watch this. I'm going to send somebody who's going to teach you how to be a real son. See, because if you're not careful, you're gonna get all messed up, and you're gonna be going here and going there and that kind of thing and stuff, and you know, because you don't understand how they're supposed to go. Paul said, look, he said, be ye followers of me. That's something that Christ has placed in me, and I'm going to teach you how to really be prepared for ministry. That's why. I started going to this school in 92, yeah. I did, 92. I think the charter year was 91, because I graduated in 94. So, ever since when I first came to the school, I saw on Apostle a desire to really help men and women of God. I really saw the hunger that he had. I really saw the burning desire that he had to make to help ministers. I saw that. And so over the years, I have seen it even stronger. And the thing that I have not been able to understand is how people can go to the school and just to get papers and don't return. No, it's almost like getting somebody pouring you a glass of water, and then once you got enough, you just pull the glass away. But there's still more that's being poured out.
Yes, sir.
And you missing out on a whole lot more because, you know, you feel like, okay, I can just tell somebody that I graduated from the school training center down in Darrow, that Apostle Thompson is the president over, and so I've got these credentials. No, it's not about that.
That's right.
It's about you really allowing him to continue to pour into you. Because it's going to benefit you. Let me say this. I want to be able to, when I finish my race, I want somebody in the body of Christ to know that this is somebody who did it the way God wanted it done and got the result that God said it was supposed to receive. You with me? So you can't, it's not going to happen if you're just starting and not going to finish. You have to have a made up mind that, hey, this is what I am called to do. And can't nobody call me off of it. You with me? You can't let nobody call you off of it. Nobody. I don't care who it is. Not if God has told you, you know, that this is who you're supposed to be. No, nobody going to call me off of it. No. Oh, no. Sons are submitted to the appointed leaders in the house. The nature of the true sons is seen as they yield to submitting to delegated authority in the house. They submit and honor the set man of the, as well as those who are appointed in the leadership structure by him. See, there's another thing. See, once you're following somebody, see, because this is what you have to get. All right, let's just say that there's somebody that's in the leadership. Okay, you love apostle, all right? But there's somebody in the leadership that you don't care much for. So whenever that person tell you something, you're not too much wanting to do what they saying do because they really not apostle. You understand what I'm saying? But if he has delegated them, then you're supposed to have the respect for them. You with me? Because watch this. Because if not, you're going to be an instrument that Satan is going to use to undermine the plan of God for this house. So somebody say, well, no. See, that's what's got to die. All them little ways you got. By certain people you want to submit to and certain people you don't want to submit to. If they're in the house and an apostle have given them authority, or whatever leader you're under have given them authority, then you're supposed to respect them just like you would respect the person who delegated them the authority. Praise God. See, that's how tradition messed everything up. Because some folk, you know, I remember when I first started pastoring, somebody called my house and my wife has a telephone and say, may I speak to pastor? And I got the telephone. I said, don't you ever call my house again and not say, how you doing? And tell my wife, how are you doing first? Because she really didn't have to let you talk to me. You with me? So tradition has always lent that kind of attitude, you know, where, you know, if it ain't the pastor, then, you know, I ain't got time for. No. And see, another thing is real sons, they're not looking for FaceTime. You know, FaceTime where delegated authority give you a chore or something that needs to be done or whatever stuff. No. Apostle don't have to ask me to do it. You with me? No, Apostle don't have to ask me. The other Sunday when I came and I heard them say about they were going to be putting up lights and stuff around here. You understand what I'm saying? So I called that Monday, called Dr. Leroy Jr. and asked him, say, y'all gonna be putting up lights? Yeah, we're gonna be putting up tomorrow. And so guess what? I made my way down here. Right. Made my way down here to help. You with me? So Apostle didn't have to ask me to come. No. See, I didn't come because I was hoping that I'd see Apostle. I didn't have to see him. I came here to help because help was needed. You understand what I'm saying? And oh, God, help me to say this the right way. Many people got to get off their lazy horse. It's too lazy. Just, I got something else I got to do. No. If this is going to help the man of God to ease his load, I'll be the one to step up and I'll do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, you know, I had some other things that I could have been doing, but I shut them down because I need to be where I need to be when I need to be there. See, because you can't ever, I said this to you before, you can't ever get to a place where you think you've arrived. You with me? So, you know, so I'm passing the church now, you understand? So, you know, I used to come down and stuff, you know, when I first started. So all of a sudden, I've got to the point now where I kind of know how it goes. So now they need some help and stuff at Word of Life. So I'm busy. No. I've had people to tell me, they say, you know, y'all able to go and help when they're doing something at Word of Life because y'all live close. I tell them like this here, no, that's not why. Because if I live where you live, I'll catch a plane and come down and do what I'm doing. See, that's what people try to use for when they got an excuse. You closer. No. If you got the same desire, you can do the same thing that I do. Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. A lot of times, folks just not committed. So they have excuses. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm so glad that y'all live closer. Y'all can go and help. Why you can't catch a plane? A bus, a scooter, or something. Praise the Lord. All right. I got a few more minutes. All right. Sons in the house are willing to be led, discipled, and trained for effective roles in the house. Their willingness to recognize and yield to all delegated authority is because they see it as an extension of the Father's authority and rulership. They yield to it because of honor of their Father's rulership and stature. So, you know, just like in LTMA, and just like in this church, Apostle have master barrels in the church. He have master vision barrels, you know, with on the road with him. And see, it's impossible for him to hear everything that go on with everybody that's going. You understand what I'm saying? And I've had problems with this when I was, you know, when I first started pastoring. You know, when something go on, somebody gets sick or something, I want to see the pastor. I mean, you don't have nothing but that, but a sinus infection. And they got to come, I got to come by and pray for you and see you and all that kind of thing and stuff. So when you delegate authority and that kind of thing and stuff, see, the delegated authority can't be saying, you know, when they get there, you know, I just had you on my mind and I just had to come and see about you. No. I'm here because the pastor sent me. I'm here because we taking a load off of him so that he don't have to do so much. He can't do it all. He got to have people, but he got to have folk, amen, that understand how it go and not saying things like this. I don't know why pastor wouldn't come. You know, they get a little too busy, you know, and you know, they feel like, you know, once, you know, you've been there for a long time, they cater to these new people. Yeah, they got people in the church that do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you got to be willing to be led and trained. For effective roles and that sort of thing and stuff, so that, you know, you can, because you understand that, all right, this is another thing, and I'm gonna stop after this. Okay, if, let's just say a person that, you know, you may have had some kind of conflict with or something in the church and stuff, and then they're in a place of authority and that sort of thing. And so they give you a order to do something. And so, you know, you thinking about what went on. See, at the end of the day, it's got to be this. It's about carrying out apostles' assignment and his vision. That's got to be, see, our little thing that we've had, that can't come into play. Matter of fact, we need to squash it. And we're going to be effective in helping him. So we can't camouflage it, that kind of thing and stuff. All right. It's not how you start, how you finish. Praise God.